May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our text is the gospel, the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Please join me in prayer. Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit upon your church this day. Strengthen us, guide us, give us understanding of your holy word. Forgive us our sins, renew us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wouldn't you agree there's a real talent in telling or writing a short story that is good, that has an impact, that has meaning? You might think of Dr. Seuss. He wrote some good short stories for kids. Walt Disney. You might think of Aesop and his fables. Who is the greatest storyteller ever? Short stories. His name is Jesus. The greatest storyteller ever. And in our gospel today, we have another short story that has a really good meaning. And we call these short stories parables. They are wonderful little short stories that have a great heavenly spiritual meaning behind them. And today's parable is pretty easy to figure out. The Lord Himself explains it to us. The field is the world. The one who sows good seed is Jesus, sowing good seed. The enemy who sows the weeds is the devil. The wheat stands for the church. We are a field of wheat, if you will. And the weeds stand for the unbelievers and all evil and all lawbreakers. They're the weeds. The harvest is the last day when God will come and separate the wheat from the weeds, the believers from the unbelievers. There's the fire of hell, the fiery furnace, and the barn is heaven. What are we to learn as the church from this wonderful little short story? Jesus says at the end, "He who has ears, let him hear." Are you listening? Not just a short little story here that might bore you because it's so simple. He who has ears, let him hear. What are we supposed to hear? Three lessons. Lesson number one to the church, to the field of wheat, is this. Watch out. He would yell that loudly in our ears if we're listening. Watch out. Say it with me and maybe yell it in your neighbor's ear. Watch out. Shouldn't have to say it. Jesus shouldn't really have to mention it, but he does. We have an enemy. We as a field of wheat have an enemy, a real sly, powerful enemy who wants to destroy us. Our enemy is not Iran. Our enemy is not North Korea or the terrorists or Osama bin Laden. They're nothing compared to this enemy. This enemy is the devil. And the devil, the Lord would teach us, is not some goofball in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork that comes out at Halloween time. That's really harmless. The devil is real and he is powerful, and his main goal is to destroy the church, to uproot the wheat and burn it in hell with him. And he'll try everything to do it. Watch out, Christian. There's an enemy all around us. In this parable, the Lord would teach us one of the strategies of the devil. And one strategy of the devil is to intimidate us. The devil loves intimidation, to outnumber us, that we become afraid and perhaps just wilt and join his side. The wheat is planted. That's the church, us, planted in baptism. Then the weeds are planted right next to the wheat. The weeds aren't planted over here in their own field, but the devil plants the weeds right next to the wheat. Then it goes up right next to the wheat to intimidate. We all know that weeds often outnumber the good plants, don't they? And the weeds go crazy. And that's the devil's strategy. Put evil all around us. We have evil neighbors, unbelieving people at work, all around us. Put evil all around us, close by, to intimidate us, to scare us. We're outnumbered. What can I do as one piddly little Christian in this evil world? The devil wants us to say, everybody else sleeps in on Sunday and is lazy. Why shouldn't I just be lazy and sleep in too and be a weed? Everybody else sleeps around. Why can't I just sleep around and have sex with whoever I want to have sex with? Everybody else does it, I'll be a weed. Join in rather than fight that. Everybody else cheats and lies at work, I'll be a cheater and a liar too and join the weeds. Too much pressure, to be honest. Everybody else is a gossip. Oh, gossip and slander and backbite people too. And on and on and on. The devil wants to intimidate us with all the weeds and evil growing around us. I'll just give in and give up. What does a wheat plant do when surrounded by weeds? And for that matter, any good plant. It continues to be a wheat plant. It grows. And the wheat plant, surrounded by weeds, even more would long for the light, the sunlight, right? And even more, it wants water for the roots. It wants to feed on the nutrients of the soil that it might grow and be strong and fight off the weeds. That's what a wheat plant does. And so we as Christians, when there's evil all around us and we feel intimidated, what do? We continue to be Christians. We long for the light of God's Word that we might grow in that light as we do today. We long for the water of the absolution. Our sins are forgiven. We're washed again. We long for that. We might be strengthened. And we long for the nutrients of the Lord's body and blood for strength, for peace, and forgiveness, that we might be a Christian and stand firm and keep growing and be a witness and maybe, perhaps, change some of the weeds around us into wheat along with us by being a good witness. You know, dear old Pastor Schultz, our beloved retired pastor, he's not here today, so I can talk about him, I guess. And he has a way at times of putting his arm around me in his gentle, loving way and says, "Have you converted yet, Paul? Haven't you converted yet?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Aren't you wearing orange yet? You're surrounded by orange. It's been 10 years. Aren't you a volunteer yet?" And what's my short, simple answer, Susan McConnell? "No, I wear red. Born with red. The red, not of Alabama, but the red of Indiana. It's who I am. No, not giving in. Not this football season either. Give up trying to ask me to do it. The orange may surround me, but I wear red." And the devil's in your ear. Just give in. Too many weeds around you, just give up. And our short, simple answer this day is no. I am covered in the red blood of Jesus, and I wear the white robe of righteousness. I will be a Christian. Watch out. A second lesson that he would put in our ears is wait. Wait, field of wheat. Wait patiently for the harvest. Wait patiently for the last day, judgment day, when God will separate the weeds from the wheat and get rid of all evil forever. Wait patiently. The parable is very clear on this. We as Christians are not here to try to separate the wheat from the weeds, to get rid of all evil and all evildoers, because in doing so, we may uproot some of the wheat and get rid of them too, and how bad that would be. You just grow together, and you live with your unbelieving neighbor or co-worker, that evil, vile person that just tempts you. You just have to live with them, don't you? This means, practically speaking, that as a Christian lives in the world, we are not, as a church body, supposed to gather all of our guns and weapons and go and attack all the evildoers. The church did that years ago, called the Crusades. Let's go kill all the bad guys. Get rid of all the unbelievers, the Muslims, Hindus. Get rid of all of them. That's not what we're here to do. Because in doing so, we may get rid of some Christians too. And what a disaster that would be. We're not here to hate our enemies. We are here, Jesus says, to love our enemies until that final day. To pray for our enemies. To be a witness that they might change from being weeds into wheat. So love that enemy. Pray for that enemy. Be a witness to that enemy. They might be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're here to do. My grandpa was a farmer in Illinois. Big, strong, tough farmer. And he disliked politicians. Don't we all? And he used to say to my dad, "You know, if I had those politicians here, I'd line them all up and shoot them all." That was my grandpa. And my mom would be covering our ears saying, I want my boys and girls hearing that from my grandpa. We can have that attitude as Christians. Just line up all the unbelievers and get rid of them. Get rid of all the unbelievers and all the wickedness. Get rid of them. We are not here to line up people. We're here to love people to the final day. And love and love and turn the other cheek and love some more. Because we've been loved by our God. And this means that in the church, that's how we treat the world out there, but in the church, as a church family, this means we are very, very, very slow to judge each other. We need church discipline, but we're very slow at it. Because we dare not want to uproot a wheat and have it thrown into the fiery furnace. We're slow to criticize and slow to label people. You're bad, you're evil, you're a sinner, you don't believe. We're very slow to do any of that. Slow to condemn. That all belongs to God. God condemns. God gets revenge. God's the one who will come and do all that, not us. We're very slow at any of that stuff, lest we scare off a good church member. We went to Jekyll Island off of Florida earlier this week for a couple days. And I was out in the ocean out there, in 2-3 foot of water, splashing around the waves and so forth. And all of a sudden, something grabbed the back of my leg, right on my cap. Something grabbed pretty hard. Ah, that's a shark! It's some kind of a horseshoe crab or something got a hold of me. Ah, I start trying to get out of the water. And I look behind me, and who is it? It's dear, sweet Abby. And Abby wouldn't hurt anybody. And she just smiled and said, "Dad, did I scare you?" Still ran out of the water. You never know. Just being playful. I tell you what's not playful is when we label each other. And when we give each other the cold shoulder because we won't forgive something somebody did to us. That's not being too playful. When we gossip about each other and stab each other in the back. That's not being too playful. When we judge people in the church because of who they are, what work they do, or how they dress. That's not being too playful. That may scare people out of the church. People are going to leave a church. It just happens in today's world. Every church, people are going to leave for whatever reason. May they never leave because of the meanness and rudeness of the church. Last of all, the third lesson, watch out, church. Wait, church, for the harvest. God will get revenge. And then we win. This is the great lesson of this text. We win. Say it with me. We win. Come on. In Neyland Stadium, when Tennessee's lucky to beat Vandy this year, they'll say it louder than that. One more time. We win. In Christ, we are victors. We win. We conquer through Jesus who lived, died, and rose again. We are victors. Notice the great climax of the story. The weeds don't take over the field and get rid of all the wheat. Doesn't happen. The enemy doesn't set fire to the field and burn all the wheat. Doesn't happen. The enemy doesn't come and uproot all the wheat. Doesn't happen. The wheat continues to grow by the grace of God. The church remains, and the gates of hell cannot stop it. And the owner comes back and separates the wheat and the weeds. And it's a very vivid picture of what happens to the enemy. This is the vengeance of God for all the weeds that are persecuting and hurting the wheat. They are thrown into the fiery furnace where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The idea here is these weeds aren't going to come back. The weeds in your garden come back and you hate it. The weeds in the driveway cracks come back and you hate it. These weeds don't come back. It's irreversible. They're in hell forever. And the church shouts, "Alleluia!" The vengeance of God upon the lawbreakers and the unbelievers. And the wheat is placed in the barn, which is heaven. The wheat and the weeds grow so close together all their lives, and the final day they're separated eternally. We win. Notice the end of the text. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Do you see the transformation in the story? In the story, we are called wheat. We are compared to wheat. Wheat's not a real attractive plant, is it? That's what we are, wheat. But here at the end, Jesus says, we'll shine like the sun. From being wheat, kind of ugly and drab, to being like the sun. This is the resurrection of the body. This is eternal glory. Because Jesus died for our sins. Jesus rose again, ascended into heaven. We too will rise and ascend with him in glory, shining like the sun forever and ever, the resurrection of all flesh. We win because of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life, our Savior, our friend, our shepherd. I shared this little verse with a homebound member this week. And I told them, you know, the Bible says that we're going to shine like the sun. Even though our bodies become old and we get arthritis and we hurt and we have pain and it aches, yes, but we're going to rise again in our body. We will shine like the sun, glory. And this sweet homebound member said, "Pastor, it sounds almost too good to be true." And I said, yes, it sounds too good to be true, but it is true. It's a fact. Believe it. Because Jesus is God's Son, who was born for you, lived for you, died for you, rose for you, ascended for you, and is preparing you a place in heaven. It's true. We are First Lutheran Church, a field of wheat. Watch out for the enemy, but don't be afraid. He can't stop us. Wait patiently for the final day when God will separate the wheat and the weeds. And realize that even now through Jesus, we win. Say it again. We win. We, kernels of wheat, will shine like the sun. Amen.